It's a Tuesday afternoon. We're chatting with Dr. Ross Walker. Let's go to your medical myth. If you have liver disease, you're either a drinker or you've had hepatitis.
Yep. Well, that's just not true. But you see, when anyone thinks about the liver, they think about, oh, it's just grog. That's the thing that does it.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knows a bit about hepatitis as well. But firstly, I think it's important to explain to people, what does the liver actually do? Can I ask you that, Brent? What does the liver do?
The liver, it acts as a filter, does it?
No, it's more the kidneys does that.
Oh, okay. Now,
the liver is, in fact, the major processing organ for all the raw material that goes through your mouth. So
Right. Whether
it's food, whether it's fluid, including grog, of course, whether it's drugs, whether it's vitamins, everything that goes through your mouth gets absorbed in what we call the portal tract, straight into the liver, and then the liver metabolizes it, processes the raw materials, and sends them around the body to do its stuff. So the liver is a vital organ that if you took the liver out, you'd be dead within 24 hours because you're just not doing any processing of anything around the body. Okay, so we really need the liver. So the question is, what is the commonest form of liver disease and how does it happen? Well, the commonest form of liver disease is fatty liver. And fatty liver may be caused by alcohol, but much more common than that is what we call non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is, as you would imagine, is related to people carrying too much weight and very much related to what you and I have spoken about on numerous occasions, which is insulin resistance, which is the gene that affects 30% of Caucasians, 50% of Asians, and 100% of people with darker skin. And that gene predisposes people to diabetes, to high blood pressure, to cholesterol abnormalities, to fat around the belly, to fatty liver, and to gout, and therefore to cardiovascular disease as well. And the best management of fatty liver, this is going to be a shock and a surprise to everyone who's listening, lose weight. The more weight you lose, the less your fatty liver is. But I've seen people who are thin still have a fatty liver because they have significant insulin resistance. And I talk about all the time that everyone over the age of 50, in my view, should be taking the Bergamet that I have the association with, which is one pill twice a day, that comes from Calabrian oranges, because what that does is help. We've got published data that we published in the Journal of Clinical Lipidology showing that taking that twice a day actually can reduce the degree of fatty liver. There's been some work with things like vitamin E, also a few other medications have been shown to have an effect. There's been a lot of work done recently on metformin, which is the workhorse treatment for diabetes, that hasn't been specifically shown to improve fatty liver, but it's again something that I think anyone who's insulin resistant who's concerned about the effects of that should be taking as well. So there's a lot of different causes of liver disease, fatty liver being the commonest. Of course, alcohol does cause liver disease, as does hepatitis, but it's not just the hepatitis viruses. We've heard of hepatitis A, hepatitis B, hepatitis C. They're common causes of hepatitis, but the hepatitis alphabet letters go right down to about hepatitis F. But you can also get, for example, infectious mononucleosis can affect the liver, and you can get an abscess in the liver. You can, of course, get liver cancers. You can get gallbladder disease having an effect back on the liver. So there's so many other things. Autoimmune disease, genetic diseases can affect the liver. Toxins can affect the liver. Drugs, many drugs can affect the liver. So liver disease is a very important, serious disease, and there are people in medicine who are just pure specialists in liver disease.
Does fatty liver, if you suffer from fatty liver, do you have pain, or is it true that there are no nerves in the liver?
So you can have pain.
You can have pain, right?
No, there are nerves in the liver. So you can feel pain, or you may have no symptoms whatsoever. And then it's really just diagnosed with blood tests, or you have, say, an ultrasound or a CT scan or an MRI that can pick up the fatty liver as well. There are certain markers, as I said, on blood tests that tell you this, but it can cause no symptoms at all. It can cause pain over where the liver is, which is under the right side of your ribs, and equally it can make you feel a bit off your food or nausea or vomiting or whatever. So it can do things depending on the severity of the disease. And here's the drum: it's not just I've got a bit of fat in my liver, like I've got a bit of fat in my belly. It's not just that. Having fatty liver may progress to cirrhosis of the liver, even if you don't drink. So it's not a good thing to have.
Okay. Queensland researchers have made a breakthrough in the treatment of the most common form of skin cancer using a genetically engineered cold virus
yep.
to kill the tumours.
Yeah, and I interviewed Professor Greg Siller from Queensland University on this on Sunday night. And Professor Siller is basically, this is just fantastic stuff. So the same virus they're using for the COVID-19 vaccine,
right.
they've also genetically modified this particular virus, and they inject it around the cancer. So basically, instead of having maybe a disfiguring operation where a basal cell cancer is, which is about 70% of skin cancer. So when you think of skin cancer, everyone goes melanoma.
Mm-hmm.
But melanoma is probably around 5 to 10% of skin cancers. So squamous cell cancer is about 20% and basal cells 70%. We used to call that in the old days the rodent ulcer because it doesn't spread into other areas, but it just spreads locally. It used to just metastasize into a distant spot, but you just see it keep growing and growing and growing. So you've got to get rid of it. And so what they do is just inject this cold virus, about three injections around where the lump is, and they've had about an 84% cure rate. So this is very early days. If anyone's listening in Queensland, Professor Siller's office is looking for more people to be enrolled in the trials of this. And they also give an oral treatment as well, which improves the immune response to all this. So pretty exciting stuff. So rather than having a major potentially disfiguring operation to get rid of your basal cell cancer, now just a few injections may cure it for you.
How do they come up with these things, eh? Where do they...
Look, this is the whole point about medical science, Brent. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people around the world who are scientists who are working on these Mickey Mouse little aspects of medical science, and it all is being put together by these genii who do incredible work like this, whether it's this or what Professor Wu's doing with the prostate, or just so many exciting things happening in medicine.
It's funny you talk about tinnitus this afternoon. I've had it for years, and it comes in varying degrees, but all of a sudden you think about it, and there it's there. It's the buzzing in the ears.
Put it out of your head and go away to something.
What can you do? Because, you know, I used to walk into a studio, and I'd hear the headphones from the guy before me, and they were just so loud.
Yep.
And I'd say, you'll sound yourself deaf. And I would turn the headphones right down, so it's not the loud music in the ears that created tinnitus for me. Just old age, probably, Ross.
It just wears off. Things, as I said, wear out as you get older, unfortunately.
I'm surprised it affects so many people, and they haven't come up with a cure for it.
Well, they haven't, but I think this linear treatment seems very promising.
Okay, my time is up. I've got to love you and leave you. You've got a week off, have you, next week?
No, I'm with you next week. It's the week after that.
I did read that.
I'm definitely with you next week, but the week after that I'm...
You're going to Byron.
...a week away, which would be lovely.
Can I come? I'll pack your bags.
I don't think my wife would be that together.
Nah, she probably wouldn't. She probably wouldn't. You know that guy I talked to on the radio? He's taking your place.
No, don't think
he'd be happy. All right, mate. We'll catch you next Tuesday then.
Good on you, mate.
Thank you, Ross. Bye-bye, mate. That's Dr. Ross Walker.